Take your Bibles, please. I want you to turn first. I was going to do this the other way around, but I've changed my mind. If you turn to Exodus chapter 1 for me, please. To start you out asking you a question, but I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to incriminate yourself. But I want to ask you something, and I'll raise my hand to tell you that I've said this. How many folks, one time or another, have made the statement, Lord, I've served you, I've been faithful, I do what I'm supposed to do. Why are you putting me through this? I would have to believe that if you don't raise your hand to that yes answer, that you're lying. Or you soon will say that. But I want to show you a few things this morning, and I want to try to help, because I need this message just as much as you do. And the great thing about being a preacher, if you really desire to do the Lord's will when you're preaching, there's somebody that needs it. It may be that you're the only one in the room that does. But you must understand something. When you get to hear from a preacher, and it doesn't matter which one steps in this pulpit, the vast, vast majority of the time, we need the message, you get the benefit. Because preachers, and we are the first to tell you, we are not completely and fully and utterly capable of living the great straight and narrow life. There are times that we go through things and we don't understand. And we ask why. And in the midst of that, you might think, well, Brother Dave, is your faith not strong? Whether your faith is strong is irrelevant. You still have sometimes questions why. And I don't want you to feel bad for asking the questions why. I just want to show you maybe why it is. A lot of folks immediately think that, well, bless God, if we are going through hard times, it's because we're being punished. May I help you today? That is not true. I'm going to submit to you that the vast, vast majority of the time when we go through things, the Lord may be trialing us a lot more than He's punishing us. I would say it's more along the lines of 75% of the time He's giving us a trial, not giving us a punishment. May I submit one more thing to you before I start? If you are not going through a trial, or you haven't been through one recently, or you're not looking forward in the future to seeing one, God's not using you. If you're going through trials, God's using you. God's preparing you. God's showing you. I never forget two-a-days in football where we had to go in the morning and run our heads off. We had to come back in the evening and run our heads off. And we weren't allowed to have a football. Now, what kind of sense does that make? It's football practice. But the coach told us, if you don't go through this, you're not going to be very good when game time comes. Let me help you a little bit. Sometimes if we don't go through some of these trials, we won't be very good when game time comes. And Christians in this room, you are the cream of the crop. You're the one that the Lord is going to use. You've got truth. Not very many have. So you're going to be the ones that He uses. So when we talk today about multiplication by affliction, I want you to understand something. You're going to fit in here. Whether you're going through a trial, whether you've been through a trial, or I can submit to you, a trial's on the way, we can do something as Christians, and I want you to see it in the Scripture. We can have multiplication by affliction. Let's look in our Bibles today in the book of Exodus. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to start in verse 7. The Bible says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let's deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more, and this is the verse right here I want you to see. Thank you so much. This is the verse I want you to see, verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, please heal my pastor. Please heal Brother Sales. Lord, let us have a good service this morning. Let us be focused on what lies ahead of us as Christians. And Lord, let us be willing to serve you with all rigor. Let us be willing to serve you with all strength. And let us be able to serve you no matter what happens and while we're serving to multiply. Lord, help us in a special way today. Anoint my lips. Lord, let me only speak what you want me to speak. And Lord, take away anything that you don't want me to say. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Bobby, did we find out what's going on? Okay. Let's pray for Amelia Sells. I knew something was going on. I wouldn't be able to focus unless we got Amelia Sells. They're telling me she passed out at work. If you don't know, Amelia Sells is with Child. And we need to pray for her that whatever that was, sometimes your sugar rises and falls when you're with Child. So, but make sure we pray for them. They just left to go check out what's going on. So let's go ahead and pray. And I tell you what, let's pray right now. Let's not go any further. Brother Bobby, why don't you stand and lead us in prayer right now for Miss Amelia and all that's going on. Amen. Thank you very much. I want to point out some things this morning. I wish I had the answer for every time a Christian gets afflicted. I wish I had an answer for every time people have to go through things. And thank you, Lord, for proving my point this morning. I don't think the cells, I don't think there's anybody that rivals them right now. I really don't. All the things that they've gone through, and they've all been voiced right here. We've prayed for every one of them. It is amazing that it continues. I don't have the answer. And no preacher does. A preacher stands up and says, well, I've got it. You're being punished. I've got it. They're going through a trial. I don't know what God's plan is. I have no idea. But I do know this, and the title of the message this morning is Multiplication by Affliction. You mark my words, and I'm telling you this in front of everybody. When they come on the other side, you're going to see a stronger people. Now, and the reason I'm telling you this is, and I don't, listen, well, you use them as an example, you're holding those people up. No. Don't you go pharisaical on me. I like faith. I like people that show faith. I like to look at people that show faith. Let me tell you something. Don't think for one minute that Brother Dave might not end up on that road. And if I end up on that road, don't you think that I'm not going to link myself to Mike Sells and say, Mike, introduce me to the God that took you through what you're going through. You gotta understand something. I know God is in your hearts, and I know that you're probably saved in here this morning. But God cannot be measured in facets. God, you can't just go ahead and put God into where you think you understand everything that God does. Don't come to me and say, I know all the Bible, Brother Dave. I no longer have to read it. Because I've been doing this for 18 years, not even close to what the, and I'm not even, man, alive. How many times you read the Bible? I never saw that before. I do that every time I open the thing. I feel ashamed of myself a lot of times. Man, I should have saw that. God is amazing. And God reveals himself. It's amazing. God reveals himself differently all the time. Because God is all, by him, all things consist. Oh, we think, well, that must just mean air. or the earth or the way. No, everything consists by God. Everything. So you get introduced to him, not that you don't know him, but you get introduced to a different way that maybe you didn't see God, or a light that you didn't see him in before. Let me tell you, I guarantee you, Brother Mike Sells is seeing God differently now than he ever saw God before. Not that God's changed. He hasn't. He's in all things in all ways. But when you go through things, and here's what you got to understand, and this is what I try to cling to myself, and I'm kind of being honest right now with you, and you know, whatever, you look at me whatever you want. I try to watch people to gain strength from them, okay? I try to watch them in their lives and in their Christian walk to make my Christian walk a little bit stronger. I said, Brother Dave, all you got to do is pray. I know that. I know you have to pray, but I believe that watching faith, the Bible says, seeing whose faith follow. And I believe that you see men and see people that have been in the ministry for years and years and years. And like our pastor, he's been preaching for almost longer than I've been alive. Do you think I cannot watch his walk with God and watch what he does and gain strength from it? I challenge you to watch good people. I'm talking about, and by the way, we're all sinners. I don't put people on pedestals. I put faith on pedestals. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, whatever. But I put people that have faith, their faith I put on the pedestal, not the people. I use Brother Carl all the time. I watch him. He's one of my heroes. Why? Because I've seen him go through some things. I've watched. I've observed his behavior. And I will put his faith, not Carl, because he would never want me to do that. His faith, though, I applaud. Through all the things that he had to go through, his faith I applaud. First thing. As Christians, you got to understand something. How many in here are saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Great. So you know the Lord is your Savior. Fantastic. Verse number one, expect to have affliction. I talked this morning about Brother Colton preaching for the very first time. All he did was make the target on his back bigger. Oh, it's a shame. And I believe in his heart that he's got a stirring of a preaching he's never felt before. I believe he's going to get ornery quick. Preachers do that. But the devil knows that too. Colton, expect to be afflicted. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this may be a little bit more along the lines of teaching today, but I'm trying to show you some things as a Christian that you must understand. I don't want you to be surprised. This is something that is not unprecedented. This is something that has been going on for years. Yet when we go through, it's like the first time it's ever happened. Right? Your issue, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with this. And that, boy, I tell you, I wish I had a dime for every time I've preached like this. You must understand, when you go through it, it's the biggest thing ever. That's okay. Because let me tell you something. When I go through my problems are bigger than yours. Hey, say what you want. That's the truth. If you'd be honest, that's the truth. My problems are bigger than yours to me. I can pray for you. I'm going through it. Amen? Now we're being honest, right? Yeah, you know what? You're right. And you may look at other people's problem. Like here's a great example. A teenager's problem. What do I bring for lunch today? That's it. That's about the extent of it. Teenager's problem. Does this girl like me? She doesn't like me. My life has ended. In their eyes, it's the biggest problem ever. By the way, don't become so callous that you don't understand that the problem is big to them. Don't you become so callous when you see somebody going through a problem that in your eyes is minor, when you must remember that everybody's going through problems and everybody has a problem that's big to them. So don't become so callous. All you got to do is pray. You're going to get through it. Yeah, that's what they want to hear. Thank you for being compassionate. How about say, and here's something along the line, expect to be afflicted. It may not be the same as everybody else, but I want you to understand something. If you're being afflicted, God knows how to afflict you, and so does the devil. So what you're being afflicted with is no accident. They know what makes you tick. And because they know, it may not be a problem for me to give up rock music, but it may be a big problem for somebody else to give up rock music. And because we say, well, give up rock, you dirty dog, just give it up. I better have compassion to realize that that is the problem that the Lord and or the devil has selected to make their life as a Christian miserable. That's the life. That's the affliction that's coming to them. And I, as a preacher, as a Christian, as a friend, and you as a Christian or a friend or a preacher ought to realize you need to help and be compassionate towards that person's problem. Doesn't say that, well, no, you know what, just listen to it as long as you want. No, that's not being compassionate. That's being stupid. No, you must realize that it's difficult. Realize that the affliction is coming. And by the way, can I ask you a question? We spend more time wondering where the problem is coming from. Where's the affliction coming from? What's the difference? It's affliction, and here it is. Turn to Jesus Christ. Have Him help you out. Brothers and sisters in Christ, help each other out, realizing that we all have problems, we all have issues, we all have things we're going through, and expect that they're coming. Don't be surprised. Don't be floored. Well, my life is going great right now. Here it comes. Expect to be afflicted. Expect to have issues. Expect to have things to go through. Expect to have curveballs thrown. Expect to miss every once in a while on hitting them. But come to the realization that no matter what, no matter where the affliction's coming from, somebody help me this morning, no matter where the affliction's coming from, the answer is turning to Christ. If it's coming from the devil because you're super Christian, or it's coming from the Lord because you're super stupid, no matter what, the answer is turning to Christ. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to look at the scripture, 2 Timothy. Where's the affliction coming from? Who cares? Turn to Christ. That's the answer. Look at these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me as Paul at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, hold on now, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Praise the Lord. What a great promise we have. You've never suffered anything like Paul did. You never suffered anything like Paul did at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Don't forget it. You've never been stoned. I'm talking with stones. You've never been whipped with a whip. You've never been shipwrecked that I know of. I don't think anybody in here was in the Mediterranean when that Italian drove it up on the rocks. I don't think any of you were there. And then jumped ship. My hero. I'm talking about... You've never been through these things. You've never been through these things. And by the way, all these were suffering for Christ. He was doing right in all these. He was serving. Can you help me? He was serving God in all these things. He wasn't afflicted when he was watching Stephen get stoned and holding the coats. He wasn't afflicted when he was pulling the people out of their homes and saying, you're going to jail because you go to church. He wasn't afflicted when he was going against the word of God and watching people die that believed in Christ. No, he was afflicted when he started to believe in Jesus Christ. He was afflicted when he started talking about Christ and winning people to Christ and preaching about Christ. Welcome to the fold, Colton. That's when he started to be afflicted. Expect them to come. Look at the next verse. Yea, and all that will live godly. Welcome to the club. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's coming. It's coming. Now you can go ahead and live your worldly life and unplug from Jesus Christ because I just don't want to suffer persecution. You can do it. Go right ahead. But when you go, you're not going to go alone. Affliction's coming. It's coming. But if you pull out, Jordan, if you pull out, you don't go alone. You pull people with you. Because people watch you. People watch what you do. And if you decide, you know what, Brother Dave, I'm sick of fighting. I'm going to the bar. You think God's not going to have a Christian follow you down the street? And when you decide to go into that building, a Christian's not going to see you walk into that building? Do you think that that's not going to have? We talk about nobody's going to see me sin. God's going to send somebody. Don't be so smug. God's going to make sure somebody sees you mess up. So when you turn around, God says, I told you so. God's got a sense of humor too. But understand this. If you go, understand affliction's coming. The Lord said he delivered Paul. He's not too strong to deliver you. So he delivered Paul. Expect the afflictions are coming and expect that you'll be delivered. Next thing. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, afflictions will come. Let's stop there for one more minute. Who are they going to come from, Brother Dave? Who cares? Stay with me. When we talk about where your afflictions come from, I'd love to pinpoint your sin, but you're a sinner. Amen? I love that. Well, I'm doing this. That's what's getting me affliction. No, people that don't do anything wrong get afflicted. Quit worrying about what's making it happen and turn towards Christ. Every problem that you think you have is fixed by your focus. Well, I drank alcohol. That's why I'm being afflicted. The answer is turning towards Christ. You turn towards Christ, you turn away from the alcohol. A turn towards your Savior is a turn away from the liquor. I'm a social drinker. You are not. You're a social liar. You're not a social drinker. You drink because you want to. And if you put 10 of them in front of you, you take all 10, whether the social was there or not. Somebody say amen. Amen. Expect to be afflicted. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Expect. First, you got to expect to be afflicted. It's coming. And by the way, all this is going to talk about, what are you going to do? As a Christian, because when I said, are you saved? You said amen. And you said a hearty amen. So you meant it. Okay, I don't have any chickens in here. I heard amen. I'm saved. That's why I didn't ask this at the end of the message. We started out, amen. We know the affliction's coming. We just saw it in the scripture. God said it in the Bible that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. Is that what the Bible said? I believe the Bible, so it's coming. Now, and understanding it, we're going by point, understanding that the problem that the Lord or the devil, doesn't matter who it comes from, the problem that you have is going to be the biggest problem to you. Amen? Remembering that, look at verse 3 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Understand this. Expect to be afflicted and expect that it will be hard. It's amazing. God's not going to throw a twig across your path. He's going to drop a tree in front of you. The devil wants Colton out. The devil doesn't want Colton to step one more foot. The devil wants Colton to stop reading his Bible, to stop praying. And by the way, it's not just Colton, it's everybody in this room. He wants you to stop doing what God has asked you to do. He wants you to stop. He doesn't care what you do. He doesn't care. You go murder somebody, it doesn't matter to him. He just wants you to stop doing what God wants you to do. Anything at all that he can pick, by the way, whether it be good or bad, as long as it stops you from doing, it's amazing how many times we get afflicted with sporting events. That's not an affliction, really. Did you watch the Steeler game? I was afflicted. Quit saying amen in here, Browns. You didn't even make it. I love, the only victory you get is when we lose. I just love that. Praise the Lord, Pittsburgh lost. Quit saying amen, Brother Bill. I got a good head start on you. I can outrun you. I think he could whip me. I'm not kidding you. Now, understand this. Affliction isn't necessarily from the negative. You may not see it as that. But Brother Dave, there's nothing wrong with watching football. Amen. There's nothing wrong with watching football. But if you're watching football on Sunday afternoon during church time, you've just been afflicted. Now, wait. And it's going to be hard for you to stop being afflicted by watching football on Sunday afternoons during church time. That's hard. Because let me tell you something. I thank God for DVR. It must have been devised by Christians so we could record football on Sunday and not have to miss it. It's amazing. It's amazing how important foolishness becomes, by the way. And I'll be the first to admit that. But what you understand is this. You can be afflicted by a myriad of things. You can be afflicted by having not enough money to pay your bills and your tithe. Man alive, Brother Dave, you hit money. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. The Bible says that how have you cursed me? How is that? Where have we robbed thee, God? Where's this curse come from? In tithes and offerings. That's what God says in His Bible. See, I take everything back to the Bible. If you got a problem, take it up with the author. Don't meet me in the parking lot talking about it. I'll turn to the scripture. You must understand something. You may come to the end of, Brother Dave, you don't understand. I can't pay my cable bill and my tithe. Disable the cable. Oh, whoa, hey, church is only one day a week. I have TV all seven. Maybe you ought to have less TV. Now, I'm not against TV. I'm not against cable. I'm not against that. I mean, whatever. But you must understand something. If it starts taking precedence over God, you're being afflicted. And it's not necessarily in a bad thing, although there ain't a whole lot on TV that's good. I'm not saying there's nothing, but there really isn't a whole lot. When the halftime game comes to the Super Bowl, what channel are you going to be on? Somebody say amen. Boy, I'm digging it today, aren't I? Well, we had a costume malfunction. We didn't watch that part. Hey, listen, you can do what you want to do, Christian, but you must understand that God or the devil can afflict you with good things just as much as he can afflict you with bad. Do you recognize that you're being afflicted? Expect it to come. I'm never being afflicted. Are you never being afflicted? Maybe you're being afflicted. You just don't recognize that you're being afflicted because you don't expect it to come. I've watched family after family after family make choices with their children. And these are your kids. I hope you understand this, and please don't take this wrong. But you make choices with your children, and the choices you make will eventually follow behind you with your kids. Oh, your kid may turn out right. They may decide, you know what, whatever mom and dad did, whatever, I'm going to go ahead and follow Christ. You know what, that's the worst attitude you could possibly have. Kids are going to do what they're going to do. Don't misread me. I know that. I'm well aware of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather lose my kid to the devil than give him to the devil. I don't want my kids to make the right choices. I'll make my kids' choices for them right now. I make my kids' choice. And by the way, my daughters and my son, they make pretty good choices. Ornery bunch. I don't know where they get that from. But it just seems like they are making decent choices, but that does not mean that I'm going to allow them to start voting for themselves. Because I know that the affliction's coming. I know that there's going to be days that they're going to have to choose, and the choice is going to be hard. Thou therefore endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You must understand something. Christ never said it would be a picnic. He's telling you in His Bible it's going to be hard. Being a Christian isn't easy. Christ taking up the cross for us and marching to Calvary probably wasn't very easy. You say, well, He's God. He was man there too. He felt the scourging. He felt the crown. He felt the cross. He knew the blood was coming out. He knew what He was doing for you and for I. That's what makes it so awesome, is that He knew it was coming. He knew the affliction was coming. Yet He still walked on. He knew it was coming. Yet He stayed in the garden. We take Garden of Gethsemane for granted. But you must understand something. Jordan, did Christ know what was going to happen that night in the garden? Yeah! He knew that Judas was coming out of the woods with his band of people to go ahead and apprehend the King of Kings. He knew it was coming. Why didn't he go out the back gate? Because he wanted to walk the road for you and for I, knowing what he was going through. Thou therefore endure hardness. Well, Brother Dave, nobody's dying over it anymore. You act like that's not coming. As a Christian, what are we going to do when we're afflicted? Are we going to throw in the towel and give up? Are we going to act like it's not supposed to come to us? Are we going to act like it's too much to bear? Because the Bible says the Lord's not going to give you anything that you can't bear. I'm just asking, Christian, do we expect not to be afflicted? Do we expect that it's going to be easy? Some afflictions are easier than others. I'll admit that. They really are. It's almost like the Lord gives you a softball. Can you hit this one? Because he had to slow it way down for this preacher. But it's amazing how God nurses us along with only what we can handle, being completely patient and long-suffering for us to take the next step towards him. Even though the problem at this height is so big, you get through it and you get a little taller, and the problem is big, boy, it's bigger, and man, but I'm taller now. Expect to be afflicted. Expect it's going to be hard. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Don't worry, we'll get back to Exodus. Expect to be afflicted. Expect it will be hard. Expect it may take a long time to get through it. Look at verse 3, Romans chapter 5. And not only so, but we glory. This separates the Christians from the Christians, doesn't it? Amen. Look at this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Oh, I glory in praises. Can you glory in tribulation? I hope you do at the end of this. Because let me tell you something, going through affliction makes you a special kind of Christian. Look at what this says. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Don't ever pray for patience. He'll give it to you. You pray, oh Lord, let me be more patient. Don't do that. He'll work you out. He'll give you exercise that you ain't been to the gym for in a long time. You ever just started a workout? Huh? You ever just started workout? You ain't been working out in a long time. And I say, you know what? I'm going to show up to the gym today. And you get all warmed up, right? Because you stretch for 7 seconds. And when you're 40 years old, 7 seconds ain't long enough anymore. You got to spend an hour stretching out, don't you, Stevie? So we get to the gym. We think, well, we're going to work out. Let me tell you something. Working out feels great. And you're all, woo-hoo! You can't wait. Pumping that iron, running, boy. Awesome. And then 7 hours later, you can't move a muscle. 7 hours later, the tribulation was too great. Can I help? Don't stop exercising for Christ. Don't take a moment to lose what strength God has given you. I'm telling you, the Bible often alludes to physical strength. Often. I believe Paul was an athlete. And he often run the race. He often does that. You know, it's not surprising to me. If you stop working out, you lose what you've had. And let me tell you something. When you're 40, you lose it the next day. You work out for 8 months and stop working out, the next day you're starting all over again. Because 40 years old, you've lost it. I'm 41. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? And listen, don't stop. It's the same thing as a Christian. You start to pull off of what God's given you. You start to pull off of your daily workouts of Bible reading and prayer. You start to pull off of those things. God's going to stop using you. Why do you want to stop being used by God? Why would a Christian want to do that? He walked all the way to Calvary for you. Certainly you'd want to walk this 80 years for him. He's given us an eternity. The tribulation, expect that it's going to take long. Now I want you to turn back to Exodus. This tribulation is going to work patience. Oh God, when is enough going to be enough? Oh God, when are you going to stop? Oh God, I don't think I can bear another day. Oh God, Let me help you. Does God know the beginning and the end? Okay. And I'm not trying to be smug here, because I'm preaching to me. I hope you understand. I started out the message telling you I was preaching to me. I am needing to go through trials better. I need to expect that affliction. Don't be surprised. I need to expect that they're going to be difficult. I need to expect that they're going to be hard. I need to expect that they may last longer than I want them to. If you think about the children of Israel, do you think they were afflicted for 10 minutes? I want you to look at this. Verse 10 in Exodus chapter 1. A new king is arisen. A person did not know Joseph. And it wasn't that Joseph was such a great guy. It was the fact that Joseph supplied them with the ability to live through that huge famine. If Joseph wouldn't have pulled that off, Joseph would have been a dirty dog fast. But Joseph, having God deal with him and God use him to literally protect Israel for 400 some odd years, going through trials and tribulation, taking long, working hard, this new king didn't recognize Joseph. This new king, who's he? He didn't pay attention to his history. I implore you, as people and Americans, pay attention to your history. He didn't pay attention to his history, realizing that Joseph was the man that protected Egypt too. Amen? Yeah, he made Israel to survive, but how about the rest of Egypt? The world survived because they survived. Can I help you out a little bit? Do you know the world still exists because we're still here? The minute he pulls the salt out of the earth in the rapture, what do you think is going to happen to the earth? We're it. I'm here to tell you, don't take that lightly, Christian. Because we're here, so are they. Because listen, do you think God's got a use for the earth after the Christian's gone? Just kindling. That's all. And then he's making a new one for you and for I. Glory to God. But at the same time, you must understand something. We're in the world for a specific purpose. To do what? To endure hardness, to endure affliction, to endure the hard times, so the Lord can give us victories through them, to get people to know Him. Now you might say, well, Brother Dave, that makes no sense. Really? What do you do in the hard times more than you do in the good? Amen, sister. What do you do in the hard times more than you do in the good besides pray? It's amazing how much more you read. It's amazing how much closer you want to get to Christ during the bad times. Is it any wonder that Christ uses them at times to get us to get closer to Him? Oh, I know that you're going through something hard. I told you were in the very first part. I'm not surprised. Because if you're going through something, God's got something special planned for you. Oh, that might not be comforting words to you now. But I'll show you a verse here in a minute. Look at these, the way that the Israelites handled themselves. I'm not saying they didn't complain. You say, well, I should never complain. Oh, no, take your complaints to God. Please do. You should. I think you should. I think you should be able to complain about what's happening in your life. Go tell Him. Go tell Him. See what He does. Go tell Him. It's like a kid telling Dad something and watching what Dad does. Dad, I don't want to clean my room. It's too hard. Is my answer, okay, son, just leave it dirty. I'll take away your affliction. No. Close the door behind you, son. We'll see you in a month. You're cleaning the room. That's the way it goes, right? Amen? So why do we expect God to be any different? Putting us through affliction gets closer to Him. You ever had your kid disobey you? You punish them, and afterwards you get hugged? That's the craziest thing I ever heard of in my entire life. I'll never forget sitting with my kids. Are my kids in here today? Where's Natalie? She must be down nursery or something. Poor Natalie. She was Cheetos, right? Tammy was Cheetos. Little kid, just a little baby. Took Cheetos. Looked up at us. And dumped them. I couldn't find the train whistle fast enough. And I said, what did you just do? Dumped him. And you could almost hear the whistle in the background. The duel was on. And I walked over to him and said, honey, pick him up. And she said the most famous answer ever. No. I'm looking for the semi-truck diesel horn now. And you understand, I don't like a child, even if it's your child, I don't care whose child, you don't tell me no. I don't like a kid to tell an adult no. If you can live with it, glory to God, I can't. I can't have a little child. I didn't get to say no to adults when I grew up. You don't say no to me. I don't care if I'm 1 year older than you. If I tell you to do something, glory to God, do it. Man, I get it. That's probably why he made me principal. And Dar looked at me, no, Daddy, I'm not going to do it. And we sat there and do-si-do'd for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. And you know what do-si-do-ing is, right? Wax it, cry, not do it. Wax it, cry, not do it. Wax it, cry, not do it. Wax it. And as you're calling social services, go ahead, dirty dog. It's a long time ago. I'll deny it. And it got so bad that my wife come marching downstairs. Stop! Oh, my goodness, stop! I stop when she pick up the Cheetos. Get upstairs. You want to stop the affliction? Stop the sin. So it's so funny. I said, honey, put it in a bowl. She said it on my wrist. The bowl's here. She set it on my wrist. I don't know where she gets the orneriness from. Ha ha. I said, is that the bowl? No. Put it in a bowl. This is 40. This is 40 minutes. Ask my wife. She won't let me lie. 40 minutes. And she's crying, weeping, weeping. And you know dads that have daughters, man, you want to take a knife and stab us and swirl it around inside your gut? Let your daughter cry in your arms. So I'm sitting and you act like I'm so hard, mean, terrible. No, it was tearing me up, but I knew that she had to obey. Well, that's her with a bowl. And then she finally picked one, and the littlest one she could find. And she picked it up and she put it in the bowl. I said, that's one. She reached down. And I couldn't believe it. She put number two on my wrist. Now you lost the one you had in the bowl. Crack! Pick him up! We sat on the floor, and I'm telling you right now, I did not stop. The persecution was long. The persecution was hard. It grieved the father that he had to. But it still needed to go all the way until the end. Finally, she picked it up and she filled the bowl. Glory to God, because I was done with it. Tired me right out. She filled the bowl. You would think that the kid would run off. I hate you! Nope. She turned around and hugged me and said, I love you, Dad. I'm so sorry. I said, no. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. When she did wrong, and I'm not saying, hey, wherever the persecutions come from, that's irrelevant. I'm just using this as an example. She expected the affliction. You don't sit there and tell me your kids don't know it's coming. They know right and wrong. Your kids aren't idiots. When she dumped out the bowl, she knew, because I'm standing there. She looked right at me. I'm telling you, it blew me away. Do you think God doesn't look down at you sometimes and you just blow him away? You mean you went through that whole entire meal and never thanked me once? I'm blown away. I'm going to make the next meal taste bad. All you're going to get is meatloaf for a month. The affliction will be hard and long. You must understand something. So I had to make sure, no matter what, that we went all the way through, and as much as it grieved me, and it don't act like, you act like God is so glad in his torment. He's not glad in his torment and torture to you. He's not glad to afflict you. He doesn't want to put you through it, but he knows that on the other side, you'll be much better off than you were just being able to disobey. So she comes and runs in my arms and says, thank you, Daddy. And she got closer to her father that day through the affliction on the other side. Now listen, I want to show you something here. And I'm almost done. Expect to be presented with a choice. During your affliction, you almost always have a choice. To do right or to not do right. By the way, there is almost never a third. Right or not do right is usually the choice. And as a Christian, you'll have it. And I just gave you a perfect illustration with my daughter. You can do almost right. That's not a choice though, is it? Huh? Almost. It's an inch away from the bowl, Daddy. That's not in the bowl. That's not right. Almost right is still all wrong. Ooh, somebody threw out daggers on that one. Expect to have other people break the rules and not suffer. And expect when you do, you will. Last one. Expect that through it all, that you will increase. Now look at this. Verse 11. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them and their burdens with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. They were actually benefiting from the affliction of the children of Israel. Don't think that the world doesn't benefit, even if it's just in satisfaction of watching you suffer, that they don't benefit from your affliction. So what? If the world's going to benefit from me feeling bad, let them. I need to get closer to my Father. Look at this now. But the more they afflicted them, the more they put on the children of Israel, the more that they gave them, the harder they made it, the more times the whips cracked, the heavier the bricks, eventually took straw away, and then you just had to make them all out of mud. That's got to be hard. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Glory to God, I don't care how much you get, you're going to increase if you just keep working. Multiplication by affliction. You say, that's not fun at all. You know what? And I she's my daughter. And what's some of the most difficult things for a preacher to do is to praise his children. And you know, that ought not be. I'm just gonna put it out there for you. That ought not be. My daughter Natalie is a sweet, sweet girl. And she does things, and so are my other children, but I'm picking on her because I did the Cheeto thing with her. By the way, the other one did it too, with wrappers in my hand, on my wrist. I don't know what it is about my children. But my daughter, and let me tell you something, she's not infallible. That's why I pray for my daughter every single day. I want my children to turn out right. I do. I don't want my children. I want my children to be drunkards. Yeah, praise the Lord. I don't want that. I want my kids, your kids, I want these kids to stay out of sin. Amen. She has done wonderfully, and it's not my fault. Don't sit there and think, well, you're just holding, I was a good parent too, and my child did this. Hey, listen, God's a pretty good daddy. A lot of his children don't do right. She has been given choices. Understand, I mean, please hear this. It's not because of my wife and I that Natalie has turned out right. It's not. And by the way, she's right today. She could be wrong tomorrow. I know that. I pray for my children because I don't want them to go that direction, but that doesn't stop them from going that direction. They may take the direction without your permission. Knowing that, I'm thankful that the Lord has used her in a lot of different ways. I'm thankful that the kids can see that there's a teenager that can still succeed and still serve God. And again, this is difficult for a preacher to say because, well, you're just holding up your own children. If we can't praise our own kids, who in the world can we praise? Can I ask you that? I mean, if you can't take a minute and be thankful for how your kids are doing good, shame on you. What's the matter with us? Well, you use your own kids. How dare you? Hey, let me tell you something. I'd love to stand her up right here, right now, and say thank you, Natalie, for turning out good. So they stand up there, and they do right, and they suffer affliction, and it's hard. But through the affliction, she's multiplied. Through the affliction, through the torment of not being able to have a cell phone. You might think, well, that's not torment. Everybody else has one. Not my kid. Get mad at me all you want to. You get mad at me all you want to. You give your kids a cell phone, you're nuts. What in the world happened? What did we do when we didn't have them? I mean, do regular phones exist? I used to have a quarter in my pocket to make a phone call. And if I didn't call, guess what? So anyways, I want to show you through all these things, no matter how hard they got better. I want to try to teach you a lesson here. As a Christian, if you're getting afflicted, if you're getting a hard way to go, if you're getting these things given to you, trust me, on the other side, you'll increase your faith. Trust me, on the other side, you'll increase your strength. Trust me, on the other side, you'll increase your comfort. Trust me, on the other side of suffering, you're going to restart the cycle and have more suffering until we get to heaven. But there's nothing wrong with it, and I want to show you one thing, and I'm all done. I know it's getting late. But I want to show you something that's very important that you see this. Take your Bibles, and I've preached this before, but I want you to lay your eyes on it again. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this because I want you to understand why. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 1. Just a few verses, and I'll pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, multiplication by affliction. Look at verse 3, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. I want you to lay your eyeballs on it. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of how much? All comfort. Not southern comfort. That's not your comfort. God is all the comfort. And the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Funny, I seem to remember this. I sat down with her on the floor. She sat on my lap. It's amazing. I just saw this the other day when I was putting this message together. I sat my daughter on my lap. When she was going through all this affliction, when she was getting whipped, I sat her right back down on my lap. I held her, trying to give her comfort. Even though she was going through this, and even though it was no fun, I still had her on my lap. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, not just some of it, Christian friends, all of it, that we may be able. Why? Why would he give you the tribulation and give you the comfort? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God brought you through. Why? Because eventually somebody's coming behind you and they're going through the same thing. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, I've spent 40 minutes. Sufferings abound. They're coming. Expect it. So the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. As much affliction as you have, so much consolation you'll get. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You afflict me, that's fine, because I'm helping others by going through the affliction. Look at this now. Christian, you're not going through your afflictions for just no reason. It could be to make you grow and get closer to Daddy. But more than that, you're going through the affliction because somebody's coming up right behind you, and they're going to need your comfort, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. If I can sit there and tell somebody, I've been where you've been, I can give comfort to somebody that's going through that. I can give comfort to a person that has walked the road that I've walked. I can't give comfort to a person that I have not walked their road. But I can't, or at least not as much comfort. Somebody that's walked that road can give them that comfort. Christian, the affliction that you're going through, catalog it. Think about what you're going through. Think about that giant that you're facing. Think about what's heading in your direction. Think about being strong, standing through it. Think about knowing, I know the affliction's coming, God. Let me be strong enough to endure it, and God, walk with me. And when you walk with me, let me not forget what I went through, because a Christian brother or sister is right behind me going the same direction I'm going, and I would like to be that guy on the other side that holds my arm out and says, come on, Christ will bring you through it. This is not just a rah-rah message. This is not just something that Tony Robbins would bring out to make you feel better. This is proven fact that Christians go through things to help other Christians go through things, to help other Christians go through things, multiplying by affliction.